The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Great crowds were traveling with Jesus, and he turned and addressed them. If anyone comes to me without hating his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not carry his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Which of you, wishing to construct a tower, does not first sit down and calculate the cost to see if there is enough for its completion? Otherwise, after laying the foundation and finding himself unable to finish the work, the onlookers should laugh at him and say, "This one began to build, but did not have the resources to finish." Or what king, marching into battle, would not first sit down and decide whether, with 10,000 troops, he can successfully oppose another king, advancing upon him with 20,000 troops? But if not, while he is still far away, he will send a delegation to ask for peace terms. In the same way, any one of you who does not renounce all his possessions cannot be my disciple. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord.
Good evening. Our gospel for tonight clearly speaks about discipleships, where discipleship means to follow Jesus Christ. But Jesus has different conditions to follow him. One, hate your father or mother, sisters and brothers. Second, no possessions whatsoever. And then I was thinking about this. The word hate being used in the particular gospel today is so intense. It's so powerful that it's so negative that we use today because of our experience with, we see in the news, that death or suffering, tragedy, that the word hate is being used all the time. But I did my research, and I look at the commentaries about this particular gospel. Hate in the biblical times is not the word being used that we use today. Hate in the biblical times used as an urgency. Let's do something about this right now. So it makes sense that discipleship and hate, the word being used today, your father, your mother, brother, and sister, Jesus is trying to say, not hate, please choose me and leave your family behind. Jesus is this invitation of choose me now, right now. This is the reason why the disciples chose Jesus to follow him and leave and left their families. But mind you, the disciples, the 12 apostles during this time were the breadwinners. They were the one providing meals for their families, but they chose Christ. And then the second part of this is why leave your possessions also. There is a trust involved. In discipleship, you follow Christ, but also trust in God completely. And this is what we can think and reflect about the second reading, where Paul, St. Paul, were in prison. This is what he said, "I am a prisoner of Christ." He's literally in prison because of his teachings and preachings in the early Christian world. And Onesimus, that's a name that we don't usually hear. Onesimus was a slave. in the biblical times, slavery, that's a different time. Slavery was a common practice. So Onesimus was a slave, then went to see St. Paul at the prison and asking Onesimus' master, Philemon, to treat him nicely. But more so, he asked St. Paul to intercede for him that, please treat me not just a slave anymore, but a brother. I want to be a brother, and because Onesimus became a Christian when he was talking with St. Paul. So what I'm trying to say here with the disciples, giving all up, and then Onesimus being the brother of St. Paul and Philemon, God always asks us the impossibility. God always asks us the impossible. This is the Christian teaching. Turn the other cheek. Love your enemy. Forgive more. And who does that? Loving your enemy, the person who hurt you most, and you forgive them and love them and turn the other cheek? That is a Christian message. So this is the word impossibility that's for us also to reflect today, that God always asks us the impossible so that for others that's become their possibility. Forgiveness, love is their possibility. 2 weeks ago, I shared this in our daily mass. It was a Tuesday night. I'm actually happy Rosie is here. It's one of the receptionists. There was a family. There's a mom and dad, and then there were kids. And then they went to the office, and then they said they need some food. Or they say, basically, they are homeless. But we don't know. Let's use our judgment. Are they really homeless or not? But what struck me is not what are their intentions. What struck me was this little boy right here. Because I was watching them from afar. They were under the tree, the big tree outside. And then this boy came up and said, do you have a pen? And I said, not right now, but I'll go to the office and get one and I'll give it to you. And I asked him, what's your name? So he gave me the name. And I said, where do you live? And he said, I don't know. I'm with my mom and my dad. I was saddened by that experience and that encounter with little boy because his reality is being homeless. The only thing that he knows in the world or his world is being homeless. Why am I sharing you this? Because of what we do here at Holy Family, because of Giving Bank. Thank goodness that Marlene across the street was there for a meeting and they were being helped. I gave you this story not to put us guilt. I want you to think and reflect about this, that God gives us impossible things for others becomes their possibility. I have a choice not to help this family. We have a choice and turn them away. But we said no. There is struggle enough. But for us, I will help them. So I'm asking you to pray for that family so that their possibility of homelessness becomes their past. So they create their different possibility. And for us today who have the right mind and spirit, that we know what is right and what is just and what is good for us. Keep cultivating it. Keep loving people. Keep forgiving. Keep the joyful spirit of a Christian so we can create possibility for others. Last Friday, I had a school mass with our Holy Family. I was new, 2 months old here in the parish. And then the altar servers were new as well, so they kept asking me these questions. Father, what is your name? Father, where are you from originally? Where were you before? What is your favorite food? And I felt like, CSI Holy Family? This young boys have this mind of question, but for them, they want to know you. They want to relate to you. And then they asked me, where were you before United States? And I told them, I moved to Toronto, Canada. And then one kid said, there's snow there, right? Yes. And then he said, can you elaborate that? Can you tell me more about your experience, your first experience of snow? I said, I tried to forget about my experience of snow. And now you're asking me? And there's this being naive about life. I love it being with the children because they know what to ask. They don't know how to ask, but they don't know, they know what to ask. And that is their, for us, impossibility, but for them, it's their possibility of becoming. Being a person here watching people grow, especially our students, my former students becoming a person, a different person from when they were a kid sitting in their classroom. I had students who are now football players, college, and I still don't know how to play football. Baseball is the same. And that's what I'm trying to say is, whatever your possibility is, as a person, as a Christian, ask for guidance. Ask for the grace. Because the second reading states that we are full of grace. So as Mary, like said, Hail Mary, full of grace, that we need this grace to walk and discover our own possibilities. May God bless us, especially for all of us who work and labor to make our lives better. And for those looking for ministry or jobs, let God bless them and find courage that we can make this life and world possibilities for a lot of people.